Robert
I Jam?
Jordan discussing intimacy in the books. This is a beautiful, remember on the USA channel, I think it was USA, but they had those like implied porn movies, right? And they'd be like, yes, a dude and a chick like, oh yeah, you know what we're gonna do. And then he'd like, it would like pan away and go to something else. But like, it wouldn't go to anything. It would give you like 30 to 45 seconds because you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what RJ did. He wrote a soft porn version of a smut book.
That reminds me of two different commercials. There was one that was a condom commercial that the guy and the gal, they were about to get it on, get hot and heavy, and he pulls out the condom. And as soon as he does, her parents walk into the house.
Yeah.
So they like quickly turn around, and the dad, it's not a U.S. commercial, but the dad's like points to the condom, is like, what is that? And he's like, oh, this? It's gum. Rips it open, pulls it out, throws it in his mouth, chews it up, and tries to blow a bubble. And at the tip of the bubble, you can just see the little reservoir tip just poking out. And I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yep.
The other one is, I saw it today. I was like scrolling through an app, and it had a TikTok where it's like, what's a early 2000s commercial that takes up renter space in your head? And it was an old Doritos commercial where there was this young girl on the bed with a bag of Doritos. And she was like, I'm ready. And it's like this weird like make out kind of getting ready to get hot and heavy with the bag of Doritos. Then at one point she's like over the bag of Doritos. Then you're like POV from the bag of Doritos, and the top just bursts open and Doritos fly out. She's like, oh, what?
Welcome to the Black
now
Tower.
Now the intro music plays.
Podcast.
Wait, wrong. Sorry.
Crap.
But how much of a troll would that be if we somehow got the rights to be able to use the Game of Thrones intro music? And we're just like, welcome to the Black Tower podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast.
I mean, we don't need to actually get the rights.
You just need 30 seconds, right?
I just sing it badly. No, dude, you can't even get away. It used to be you could get away with 10 seconds, and now you can't even get away with 10 seconds. Like, that's the algorithm on YouTube is so strict.
Well, that's why you just have to sing it badly enough.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not going to pick up on...
Welcome to the Black Tower podcast. We're all here. We're all tainty, and we're ready to discuss some Wheel of Time fun facts and things you may... We're going to be like clickbaity tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 10 things you did not know about the Wheel of Time.
That's not what we're doing, but okay.
I know. I thought I'd throw people off the scent.
Good episode idea. Let me add that to the list.
But we have to do actually 10 things you didn't know about the Wheel of Time. It can't
we'll do
be
two.
One of those... absolutely terrible like Screen Rants or
right the ones that they're totally obvious like Obi-Wan Kenobi
like yeah no
let's do two.
Darth Vader
no, let's do two you have to do
oh,
one
Darth Vader is Luke's fuck
oh,
we'll have to do two
that.
We'll have to do one that's like a shitty BuzzFeed version that you already knew everything and another one that where you actually didn't know.
Let's do a whole episode the first hour.
Do you know
the actual 10 things you didn't know, and then right at the end, we'll do the 10 things you absolutely freaking knew.
We could do this book by book.
That is true. Though, I mean, that would just kind of turn into spoilers for the rest.
Ooh, that gives me a chance to do some, like, other fun editing.
Anyway.
Introductions, because you don't know who we are.
You don't.
I
don't know how.
I almost said my name is Josh. What the fuck?
I mean, the truth is
gonna be
wrong with you.
Anyway, this is Josh. He is our Sora Von Mahale with the dope tie-dye Black Tower podcast shirt, which you can get at our merch shop. Link in the description below.
What? Let me just straighten my shirt out.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Okay. Woo.
Look at it. I'm back. Right over those well-turned nipples.
Look at it. Where are your well-turned calves?
It's cold in here, okay?
So that is Josh. Hopefully I'm pointing to the right
person. Maybe you are.
And that is Andrew, your Bijan Mihail, the one with the cool tattoos and the Dragon Ball Z shirt.
Yay. Andrew,
the battle leader who's wearing the most, who's wearing the World Martial Arts Tournament shirt.
Makes sense. It fits.
Right?
Well done, sir.
Let's go.
And then,
and don't you dare.
We have our Amon Khan Mihail, Mr. Daniel-san, who's wearing a Link shirt, which is pretty awesome because it's one of the greatest like gaming gaffes of all time. It's adventures like Adventures of Zelda, but the character you play is Link.
Legends
of Zelda. And for some reason, people still don't know the difference between Link and Zelda.
Yes.
And because you guys need to know.
Again, to be fair, I do want to throw out there, all parents that are hearing this and being like, but I don't know who that is. We get it. There is a certain category of people who gets a pass. If you still call a PlayStation or an Xbox a Nintendo because you just don't know what's going on, then you kind of get a pass about not knowing who Link is in The Legend of Zelda. But also, learn. Come on. If you walk in the room and say, are you winning, son? Learn a little bit about the game he's playing. Come on. Let's go. Come on.
Google is your friend.
Yeah. This episode's Frosty Mug is
Malkia Tufts.
You can't see it all, and the background is an asshole, and I refuse to turn it off.
But remember Malkyrie Rob, who is the third best swordsman in Malkyr and the best chef in Malkyr. Yeah. And the sexiest chef in Malkyr.
Because we all know that in order of swordsmen, it goes, or of swords wielders, it goes Lan, Nynaeve, Chef Malkyr.
And I think it's fun to note,
chefs, it goes Malkyrie Rob, Lan, Nynaeve. And then attractiveness, it goes Nynaeve, Malkyr talks, Lan.
But don't tell
Ron. Just but don't Ron tell from Harry Potter shows
don't,
up.
Don't do it. Don't tell Lan that.
I think it's
because he's the best swordsman, and I don't want to have to go up against that one.
I think it's important to note too that Nynaeve's technique is almost hatchet like.
Really, it's effective.
She just terrifies the hell out of you until you surrender.
Yes. Well, and I will say that the biggest problem is that Malkyrie Rob does have an advantage here where he does use knives on a regular basis and things like that. So his technique is actually quite good. But Nynaeve has years and years of braid pulling to work on her triceps. And so just her just ability to attack you is just unovercomeable. It's
impressive. Andrew, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, before we get into what we're talking about, we'll make, since we've been doing this at the beginning, we have two things. There's one we can't. This episode is brought to you in part by the Crystal Barista.
A
fantastic and ongoing sponsor who helps us do the epic Gathering Madness event and just makes amazing drinks. If you didn't come, you missed out. And if you don't believe us, you can just ask Sexy More Shoddy over in our Discord or anywhere else where you can find him because he was able to enjoy them as well. Link will be on the screen somewhere. And if you aren't watching this on YouTube, for one, why not? Because you get to see our stupid, lovely faces all the time. But her link will also henceforth be in the description below.
Henceforth.
Because I haven't put it there before because I'm a trash person at putting links to our sponsor.
Trash.
So to the Crystal Barista, I apologize as the editor in error. But the other thing.
Editor in error.
I was going to say in chief, but I'm like, I do not know what I'm doing half the time. I click the buttons and they do the flashy things.
There are plenty of CEOs and commanders and things like that who just have no idea what they're doing. You are doing better than most of them.
The next thing is actually an announcement. We have, we put a tweet out a while back. We've said we're going to do this for a while. The Ask an Oshimon live stream is happening. We have a date. We have a time. And if you're watching, it'll be on the screen right now. But for those of you that are listening, it is going to be January 10th of 2021. We wanted to wait till a better year, hopefully, to do
We're going
to
ring in this new year.
It will start at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and go until whenever. It's not going to be like a 4, 5, 6 hour stream. We're figuring it'll probably be anywhere from an hour to hour and a half max kind of deal, but it all kind of depends on how things go and availability of us.
That is 2 days from now, by the way.
Yes.
So if you're watching this and you're not a Patreon, that's 2 days from now.
Yes.
If you're watching this and you are a Patreon,
it's 9 days. Hey, map.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's happening. That can be found. You can see the link, or you saw the link, depending on how long I decided to keep it on the screen. You can see the link down below for it. It'll be a live stream on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/blacktowerpod. If you want to ask us questions, you can tweet at us. You can email them to us. You can ask them. We have a channel in the Discord for Ask an Oshimon, or I think it's Oshimon Answer. We might change it to Ask an Oshimon. You can put it in Discord, any of that kind of stuff. And if you don't tweet it right at us or anything, make sure you use, and you can put it on Instagram too. Comment on any of our posts, ever, and use the hashtag Ask an Oshimon, no apostrophe in Oshimon, just Ask an Oshimon all together. And those are the tags we will be searching to help us grab all the questions we can. We will also, during the live stream, take live questions from chat. So plenty of chances. There are zero restrictions on what you can ask us.
Correct.
We have our own level of what we will not answer, part because of YouTube, part because of personal or whatever. But you can ask us anything, advice, where we grew up relatively. We're not going to tell you like our address, but ask us whatever you want. And if we can't answer, we'll tell you why.
I at least will tell you all of the addresses for where I grew up, because I don't live there anymore, and no, neither does anyone I know. So go and see my childhood home. I don't care.
My parents still live where I grew up. So
fair enough. Yeah, no, that would be an interesting conversation. Yeah. Andrew. But,
so that is happening.
Showed up today looking for you. Because that's clearly my father talks.
Yeah. Well, we live in the South, and my parents are armed and know how to shoot, so do so at your own
risk. Yeah, do so at your own risk. Agreed. Yes, also, so I will tell you two things. Most of us don't really have filters, so really go nuts with anything that you actually want to know. I think the vast majority of what we won't answer really is the against YouTube violations. We're actually pretty open people. So come on down, ask us anything, have a good time with it. You can be as dumb, as intimate, as out in left field or whatever as you want. And we'll all have a really good time. Also, we do reserve the right to not have this on the 10th. If we hit midnight of tomorrow, because we're recording this on the 30th. And if we get to the end of tomorrow and 2021 just doesn't start, and we get to just, you know, tutorial complete.
Or Prestige 1.
We're not going to do that. Or 11:59 and 61 seconds, we're all fucked. And we're just not going to do it.
If the date changes and it says December 38th or 41st, we're not doing this. We're going to be stocking up and avoiding the plague zombies and shit. So that's happening. As you're listening to this, you might have already seen it on Twitter and Instagram, because we're not going to wait until this goes live.
Correct.
Because that would be 2 days before. So that'll already be out. But this is a reminder. Go ahead and get your questions in there. And if you want to ask them live, you're more than welcome to do so. No special requirements. You can ask anything, like we've said. Not going to belabor the point.
Yeah.
You get what we mean. All that fun stuff. Be sure to share it out. We want people to show up. We want people to have fun. We want people to hang out. And we want you to get to know us better, if that's what you want. You may not want to, but that's what's there. But you can literally ask us anything from personal stuff about us and our lives all the way to the channel / podcast, all the way into Wheel of Time. I'll try to see if I can put a banner up there that, you know, that I can hide and put up whenever we're talking about spoiler stuff, because I'm trying to do better about editing and how we do live streams and all that fun stuff. So I know I can do it with OBS. I just have to craft it and do it.
Craft it.
You but, crafty right. man, you.
But anyway, so there's that. More plugs, but we'll do it at the end.
Sounds good.
Because we have something fun to talk about. And you might have guessed it from the title of this episode. If you're not listening live, because if you're listening live, obviously you can't see the title of the episode. But for this episode, oh, wait, no. No, I can't say it yet. We have to do a spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning!
So, Daniel.
Yes.
Pick one, two, or three.
Two.
All right. Here is your spoiler warning.
This episode contains spoilers nice. From the entire Wheel of Time series.
If you have not read the series, you are at risk of being spoiled.
You have been warned.
Oh, I love Michael. I love his voice. Like, you have been warned.
Thank you, Kate and Michael, for that splendiferous so awesome. Spoiler warning. All right.
We've gotten so much mileage out of that spoiler.
We got to make sure we tag them when this episode goes on Twitter so that...
Yeah.
And thank given them. The discussion of how this episode starts, I don't know if I want to.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
I do.
I mean,
hey, Kate and Michael, this is who we really are.
They've always known that.
Yeah, that's true.
But this episode, we're going to talk about one of the still largely unanswered, much theorized, much talked about questions for those that have finished the Wheel of Time. That is, of course, one of the last scenes we get with Rand's pipe and the mysterious lighting of it. So, that is the topic of this episode.
I'm so excited. I so could chew on this one all day.
So to explain how this comes about, a nice refresher both for us and for anybody listening, the last battle has finished. Rand and Morden have swapped bodies. Morden in Rand's body is burning on the funeral pyre, and it is now Rand somewhere kind of randomly. I think he's kind of overlooking what's happening, I believe. But it is Rand in Morden's body. He has a pipe in his mouth, and he literally just thinks about it being lit, and then it is lit, and he starts smoking on his pipe. And
that pipe is lit, bruh.
Kind of fade to black. Ever since the book was published and people finished the book, the question has been, how does he light the pipe?
How he do that?
Also,
because I believe it happens like he tries to reach out and touch the source and he doesn't see it or sense it at all.
Yes. He also, it's very important to note that many people have asked Brando Sando about this scene, and his comment has been consistent throughout the years. Robert Jordan wrote that. He wanted that scene specifically to be untouched. No, I have no idea.
Yeah, because I think even in RJ's notes, he leaves no explanation.
None.
It just happens.
He doesn't.
That's just what he wanted to happen.
And which as is cool. Someone who has actually seen RJ's notes, Matt also doesn't have an answer for this. It's not like Brandon Sanderson is just lying about it. And,
right.
You know, other people have seen the notes are like, yeah, he did. He absolutely did. Why is Brandon doing this? They also don't know the answer to this question.
It's, which is cool because that means no theory can be right or wrong.
Correct.
Yes. I mean, some just make no sense, obviously, but there's...
Someone else was channeling.
Yeah, without the correct... without the answer that we cannot get now, that's impossible to get. We can get ideas. Like, even an answer from Brandon Sanderson is... it's close to an answer, but it's still just his interpretation of how it happened. And it may be the same for Harriet and Maria. They may have not talked about it. RJ might have been like, it just happened.
This is just how it is. Yeah, I think it's very, very interesting to note that you've got
Matt Comey is lurking. Always lurking.
So and that's just where I was getting ready to go with this. Like the two interesting things to note. Actually, I guess three interesting things to, for me. One, you've got the Rand Mardin body swap. Mardin's body could channel. So there's questions. Well, body and soul combination could channel. So there's questions about who is given the gift of being able to channel. Is it linked to your soul? Is it linked to your body? Is it linked to both?
So we know it's the soul.
Well, and so that's the thing. When Rand's soul went to Moradin's body, all of a sudden that ability to channel was severed in such a way that he does not have a longing or a sadness as a man who is gentled would have. So this is an interesting point to me.
I'm gonna throw out there though. I get that and I do appreciate what you're saying. I do 100%. Though
this is what Daniel is says before he disagrees with you.
Well, no, but it's it's the fact that Rand's soul and body could channel, and Moradin's soul and body could channel.
Right.
So presumably, if they switch bodies, you have a soul and a soul that can channel, and a body that can channel. It doesn't seem, unless it's the combination, because you just made a point there that's absolutely solid of, we don't see Moradin in Rand's body do anything.
Right.
Because it's already expired.
Right.
And therefore, unless it's the combination, any of those single parts all can channel.
Right. So it's an interesting kind of a why.
Yeah.
Of how is his ability to channel just suddenly gone, and why doesn't he feel any longing? Because in past times, when he couldn't channel, when he was blocked from the source or shielded or anything like that, he panicked, and it was a.
Well, but and now all of a sudden he's like he's in fucking far matting. He's on edge.
I mean, I make the statement that we know it's linked to the soul because of characters like Arengar.
Right.
Yes.
And that's where we get the whole thing. Like, as long, because we had this discussion, I think, a while back where we talked about as long as the soul saw itself in aligned to whichever side could channel Sidin or Sidar.
Yes.
Right. That was kind of how it went, which creates the interesting problem of, well, could Rand suddenly identify as a female and then channel Sidare? Could Egwene identify as male and then channel Sidine? I don't think we know enough to do it. I don't think it's that simple, to be honest with you.
Right. Right.
But there is a notable, that's a different discussion, I think,
there's a precedence for it.
There is.
There's a whole rabbit hole that we could go down.
Because there is a reality that Arengar. There is a reality that Arengar is not in a female because they chose to be female. It was a punishment from the Dark One, or a tactical move by the Dark One, or something. I believe Bothamel sees it as a punishment, but then
he wakes up in a girl's body and goes, "Oh, damn it!"
And then
hey, girl.
He's like, "Oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. What am I gonna do? Ooh, boobs. This is kind. This is cool. Actually,
this is,
we're good.
This is like kind of cool.
Any guy ever.
Yeah.
So I imagine that the opposite would be true if a girl's walking around like she's like, "Oh no, you put me in a helicopter."
Well, they did that in. They
I
made
could pee behind a tree and aim.
And they made that joke in Jumanji. Mm. Martha, come look at my penis.
No, I'm good. So there's that.
It is
interesting to think about, like, why is it that he can no longer sense it? Is it the pattern is done with his soul's purpose, and since the ability to channel is linked to the soul, that he no longer needs the ability, so the pattern has pulled it from him?
Right.
Or is it something to do with a body, how the body swap mechanics work with Kalindor? It's it's hard. Like, whenever the Balefire crossed, did it link their souls in a way to where if one died, the other one lost, you know, some part? It's weird.
And they did actually cover that and how the connection formed. Like, that was one of those ones that was a mystery for a long time.
Yes.
And then someone presented the theory, and Brandon Sanderson got on Reddit and confirmed that particular theory. So that was cool. And that's how we got the body swappage. But with the body swappage gone, like, it's just... I mean, it says very specifically, he reaches out for the one power, is able to feel nothing, is able to sense nothing. It's not like it's just there, and he just
can't quite touch it, or get
to it.
Yeah, it's very it's
gone. And then he, like, kind of shrugs for a moment. He's like, oh, okay, I don't really want to know, but, and he reaches out to the true source, nothing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing.
I love that of the, like...
Okay, good. Woo!
Wait, okay, now I need to, like, actually... still nothing. Still nothing. All right, nope. It's just totally... All right.
And the cool thing there is that he feels relief.
Yes. Yeah.
He feels relief. So that's...
Well,
that's...
And, of course, again, part of that was that the true source was just so much... It was Sidene on steroids, basically. I mean, it was everything he didn't like about Sidene and everything he loved about Sidene to the nth degree of, like, again, you have Moradin running around using the true power for everything.
Yeah.
And you literally see it in his eyeballs. Of just how much it's, like, fucking with his body.
This is what it looks like.
And then he's just like, nope, I love it. I'm just keeping using it for everything because screw you. The true power is just that much better. And then, you know, Rand touches
real.
True power. And then, of course, Rand gets his first taste and he's like, oh my God, I could do so much more with this. But then he's also like, but I'm a good person. No. Stop that. Stop it. Don't do
that. Person that can turn invisible but doesn't become a perverted peeping Tom.
Right?
Kinda. Yeah.
Which...
Or Rob Banks.
Well
or,
done, sir.
Yeah, like, well fucking done. Any of the other, like, horrible things you could do with this particular ability.
So...
Yeah.
So that's, like, the first, like, aspect that I find incredibly interesting about this.
Yes.
Because you have to know that Rand... supposedly, or as far as we understand, Rand has no supernatural ability whatsoever. He's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
A really smart guy. A wicked smart guy.
But
he's
just a kid.
He's one fucking guy.
A nightmare.
And, like, a wicked strong guy. Wicked strong guy as well. Because, like, he's better in the power than, like, the vast majority of fucking people.
He's like, one fucking guy. He's one fucking guy.
But again, it's really, you just made a great point. Again, part of the whole thing is that anyone who can channel can do what Rand does. It just matters about how much you can take. And so Rand is sort of, like, tiered up as far as the things that he can do, but only because of the amount he can hold. And so if you give, you know, Asmodean the Chosen Call, which he almost gets at one point, or give Narishma, not Narishma. Is it Narishma or is it just, no, it's Narishma. Jesus.
What are we giving him?
Kalendor.
Yes, it is Narishma.
Then, you know, again, they are at nearly the power level of Rand unaided.
Right.
Or past it, depending, because I think the Asmodean with the Chosen Call would be stronger than Rand unaided
by a significant
margin. And so again, what Rand does and what he has going on is not because he's so epically special that he can necessarily just do all of the things he does based on, oh, you are the Dragon Reborn, blah, blah, blah. He does have advantages from that, but they're not crazy out there. It's just, okay, cool. He's probably the strongest person in the power that's around.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Anyway. But now he's not even the right. Least.
So what was your second thing?
Second thing is we've only seen one other character that seemed to have these types of abilities with no ability to channel, and that is, as Daniel had mentioned previously, Nakomi. She appeared out of thin air to talk to Avienda. Avienda did not hear her coming, which startled the hell out of her. And when Avienda,
is mentionable because Nynaeve,
yeah,
getting snuck up on is a big deal. Anyway, continue.
And so Avienda's like, okay, we're sitting there just chilling, and then Nakomi's like,
Avienda,
yeah,
that's what I meant.
And Nakomi, well, I mean, you're still right with Nynaeve. That's just
correct, but
different story.
Not, yeah.
Avienda sits down and she's like, oh, okay, this looks like a good place to sleep for the night. I think I'll just turn around and grab my packet. Oh my God, someone's there. And it's Nakomi. And she's like, hey, do you mind if I share your fire, wise one? And Avienda's like, sure, why not? And then Nakomi starts doing some really weird shit. She's like, oh, by the way, I have this food. Would you like some? Oh, by the way, would you like some of this water? I've got this 12-gallon jug of water that I've just been carrying with me. And Avienda's like, sweet, yeah, let's do this. And she's Jesus. Like, and then it's gone again. And Avienda's like so kind of weirded out. She's like, she even does a check at one point in time. Is like, nope, this woman can't channel.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and of course, again, I think she notices as she's doing this weird stuff that she's like, oh, she's clearly you. No, she's not. She's not using the power right now.
What is happening right now? Yeah, no, it's so now we've got our second character who, God, is out of phase or out of sync with the pattern, I think is the best way to put it. Where you've got you know, it's when you've got an overlay and then things are just like a little bit off, a little bit. And that's how you've got Rand, and that's how I see Rand and Nakomi sort
of. Like our audio was last episode.
Yeah.
Rand.
Yeah.
Nakomi.
Well,
everybody else is fine. Oh, but there's just Rand and Nakomi.
Yeah, those guys are just like they're just a little out of sync. So they've got weird and interesting perspectives on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would definitely be featured on an episode of BuzzFeed's Unsolved Mysteries. Imagine, if you will, a world.
Imagine
where magic exists and everybody knows about magic, but then those that can use magic find two people that don't use magic but do magical things. Yeah, I mean, it's for that one, like, to understand, to use Nakomi as a bit of an explanation. We would have to know who and what Nakomi is,
yeah,
and we don't.
No, and that's it's definitely a thing.
It is a really good parallel.
Yes, exactly. Especially since we don't know what's going on with either of them at that point. We actually know more about what's going on with Rand, but it's like, okay, but there is precedent here.
Yeah.
It also raises a lot of...
Hey, I've seen this one. What do you mean? It's brand new.
It also raises a lot of questions as to how someone gets to that point. Because my theory has always been Rand stepped outside the pattern. He watched the Wheel of Time turn and spin out the pattern. Saw that.
The wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
That's right, Steve.
Don't know what body I'll be in tomorrow.
And not only that, but he seized control of the threads from the Dark One and wove several realities in his battle with the Dark One. And that's gotta mess with your head. I'm sorry. There's no way. Because it talks about, you know, normally you weave the five elements, and Rand wove 1,000, each individual strands. And he literally wove reality for a moment.
I'm going to pull out some threads and just point to them and talk to the creator and be like, tell me where the dragon touched you.
He just reached his hand just right up inside the pattern.
It's like the mirror world scene on steroids. Yes. Like it was more than flicker, flicker, flicker. It was like flash, flash, flash.
It was. And
flicker,
so,
flicker, flicker. Weave, 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 weave.
You come back into reality and Rand's like, I've seen.
Come back to reality.
It's too late. I've seen everything, mother.
Yes.
And, so is this like an Edward and Alphonse Elric seeing the truth of alchemy, but actually remembering it all?
Yeah. Well, he even doesn't necessarily. Oh, I guess he remembers it all.
Does
they don't really talk about. They don't really talk about his memory.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna say like because he gets splendiferous powers. That's probably not the right word, but I'm gonna use it anyway because I like the word.
No, splendiferous is fantastic.
Or would you say they were phenomenal?
You don't apologize for that for a second.
Itty bitty living space. Oh no, we brought him back to the box. I mean, because like
Full Metal Alchemist. Oh no! Don't put Rand back in the box.
No.
Because the Full Metal Alchemist example, like Edward Elric is only able to save his brother because of the knowledge he gets from seeing the truth the first time, and it's the sacrifice of his arm, I believe, that allows him to do the human soul transmutation.
And his legs,
right. Well, he loses the leg first when they try to transmute their mother.
When they try to do his mom. And then,
oh, no, you're absolutely
right. I think he doesn't understand how he can save Alphonse. So then he sacrifices his leg to see the door of truth again. And that's when he knows how to make the seal human transmutation.
That's right. That's right. You're right.
So, fantastic series.
It's so good.
It's so good.
So what is the your other point? Because I mean, we don't know who Nakomi is. We can speculate on her. I think we did an episode on Nakomi.
We very well may have.
I wouldn't be surprised. We've been doing this for a little over 2 years now. So, so what's the other point?
Yeah,
because I want us to get to a point where we can talk about our theories each of how it happens.
Yes. I may have gotten too excited and forgot my third point.
That sounds like you.
It does. Man.
I thought I had three spares, but I only had two.
One, two, three. Okay, we're good.
That's the movie
quote.
That's
tonight's movie quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll give it to you one more time. One, two, three. Okay, we're good.
Indeed. I like it.
So that third point will go largely unspoken because I...
If you remember it, just break
mercurial
in.
Mercurial in nature...
You would be.
All right. If you remember it, just break in at an opportune time, write it down, do something. But let's start this off. Daniel, do you have a theory as to how Monsieur Rand lights his pipe?
So I do. My theory on it is the idea that Rand regularly, or Rand sets a precedent and has a little bit of a habit in some ways of doing things that he can't explain, that he's never done before and can't remember after. And when he actually goes into, there's also again a precedent for there's the one power and the true power. And even within the one power, there are two aspects of it that are Psi-Deen and Psi-Dar. And so the world itself already lends itself so much to the nature of magic is known, but not really. People have defined it as this. People think it's this. The way that you talk about it is very useful to go ahead and use these keywords, use these terms, use these whatever, but that really magic is still so much of a mystery. It's very akin to our science of even if you end up going ahead and finding out that your supposition 150 years ago or 150 years from now was wrong, getting to that point was important. And if you hadn't had your supposition and tested the hell out of it and gotten us to the point where we were retesting different things 150 years later, we'd still be back 150 years ago with the thought process on this is how things work. And we never would have found out what your supposition was 150 years ago to find out that it's actually not totally correct 150 years later. So what yes. my thought is that Rand just goes along with all of that throughout the whole thing. And that's fine. Absolutely, he's learning everything. He's learning how to walk. He's learning how to crawl. He's learning how to run with the things that people already understand about the pattern and understand about the power and understand about whatever. As he starts to go ahead and put everything together and touch Sidene better, touch the true source for the first time, cleanse Sidene using Sidar and things like that, he keeps on learning and learning and learning and learning and learning new things about the pattern. And then he goes and touches the Dark One's prison. And suddenly he is inundated with things that no human has ever seen, presumably, and touches the threads of the pattern, weaves all of these ridiculous elements that they don't even think they understand because they in the world that he
they don't even know they exist.
They, well, maybe, because maybe they're actually going ahead and doing 7 different elements that they're just calling fire. And 25 different elements that they're calling water, but they've never tried to break them down even further or something along those lines. But Rand learns all of this in a flash.
Hydrogen bending.
Right? And it just hits him right in the fucking brain hole all at once. And his brain doesn't explode. But I actually have a very strong feeling that he really didn't understand, again, all of what he was doing.
Right.
But he saw all of it.
Well,
and what so when he actually comes back into reality and he's back to sort of being a part of the pattern in a mortal body and things like that, and he tries to touch the one power, he can't. When he tries to touch the true power, he can't. It doesn't even exist for him. It's not even like he's not trying, or he just can't touch it. It's gone. But he can light his pipe. And I think what that comes down to is his brain has figured out a defense mechanism to not turn to slush from all of the knowledge he just earned.
If you will.
Yes. And so when he thinks, it would be really cool if my pipe was lit, his brain figures out all of the information that he got in his subconscious and uses the power that he actually has access to now to light his pipe.
It's just lighting a pipe. Why are you running a subroutine?
Right? You dick. But then his conscious mind is so baffled at this point and so messed up by all of the stuff that's trapped in his subconscious and whatnot, because again, he just can't get that two things to sync up, that in the end his conscious brain is trying to do something that no longer exists to him. Because he's been doing it a different way so long, but he now just learned the true way to go ahead and do all of this stuff. And that when his brain tries to do it consciously, it does not compute. And it's like, no, you know the right way to do this, but you don't know the right way to do this. So stop trying so hard. Right. Just think whatever it is that you want to get done, and we'll do it.
He's still got a voice in his head.
Right? We'll make it happen, but you can't do things the way that you've done them before because you know too much.
I like seeing it now. Like, Rand's like, I wish my pipe was lit. And his brain's like, this looks like a job for me. Now, everybody.
Yes, basically.
I love it.
That is my thought. And I think that when it comes right down to it, I also really like the idea of Nakomi is actually from the future. And she comes back to the time to make sure certain things happen. And what really happens is that Rand figures it out eventually. Right. Way past when we actually see the books end. He figures it out. He teaches everyone else how this works. And Nakomi is one of the people in the future who knows how all of this goes together, comes back to a time when no one has any idea how it works. And so Avienda trying to figure out what Nakomi's doing is just completely and utterly unable to fathom what Nakomi's doing with the keywords and whatnot that she knows. And so Nakomi just looks like she's doing nothing, because what the fuck are you doing? So that's my theory on both Rand and Nakomi, technically. But like that is my theory on the pipe, that Rand is just so incapable of actually understanding what he's doing, that the pipe lighting is the governor in his head saying, yep, cool, we can make that happen, but you don't know what it is we're doing.
I like that. I could get down with that.
All right.
I like
who's next?
We're going to go with Mr. Tie-Dye Leprechaun.
Mr. Tie-Dye Leprechaun here.
All right, so my theory on Rand's
pipe. So we know how much of a delay Josh is on, because we just celebrated Christmas and he's just now getting to St. Patrick's Day. 2020 was a fucky year.
I'm pre-gaming St. Patty's.
We're in a Jeremy Bearby. Nothing matters.
I'm drinking with training for the next St. Patrick's Day.
It's time to start stretching your livers. Don't you know, Patty's Day, St. Patty's Day is right around the corner. All of the people from Ireland that are listening to the show right now, please leave comments on how terrible my Irish accent is. That'd be hilarious.
Actually, your Irish accent really wasn't that bad. It was a little bit of a caricature, but it was definitely not bad.
No, I mean, okay.
I'm sure that you couldn't tell me what part of Ireland you were trying to do.
No.
That's a different question.
No. I'm not that good yet. Not with Ireland. But anyway. My theory when it comes to Señor Rand meticulously and miraculously lighting his pipe. I mean, let's take a moment to like appreciate what I feel. First and foremost, I feel like Rand and Nakomi are very, very tied together at this point in the series. Okay. They both have similar, if not identical, abilities to just sort of apparate things and just...
Is there a pop every time they do it?
Yes. it's canon. I have spoken.
I have spoken.
And so, for me, I'm very, very, like I could spin on this all night.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, it's like...
All of us could. I just stayed for 20 minutes. It was terrible.
Terribly awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate your life.
Rand, yeah, you can give me 20 later. Rand is sitting here. He's like, okay, let's see. I've died, you know, twice now. Now I'm in a new body. I stepped outside of reality itself and held the Dark One in corporeal form in my fist. And he reaches out to the One Power and is nothing's there. Reaches out to the true source. Nothing's there.
Yep.
My guess is it goes along with what we were talking about being out of sync. Slightly out of sync.
Yes.
And he has become something that is... There's the old metaphor of flat world, right? Where people in flat world can go left and right, up and down, but they can't move off of one single plane of existence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everybody in Randland is in flat world.
Mm-hmm.
Rand and Nakomi, they've added that third dimension. So they've got a whole new perspective on things. Maybe they don't even fully understand what it is that they have the ability to do, but they know they can. They know they have that ability.
I have abilities even I don't know.
I know Kung Fu. And so Rand is sitting there and he's like, he can't reach out to the one power, the true source.
Show me.
In a way, in a way, he is a not a conduit, almost like an anchor point or a wellspring for
the old ball
the
and
power
chain.
Itself. He is able to do these things with a mere thought because he is in many ways one with the one power and the true source.
Hey,
and
don't talk about Belle Delphine like that. Don't call her a mere thought. That's not nice.
So
what you're saying is he is Bodhi Rand when he comes down from the mountain.
Yes.
And he is actually now Zen Rand.
Yes. This is the culmination and appearance and conception of actual Zen Rand.
You said Zen Rand and I heard Zatarans.
Yes.
Tony Zatarans.
He's
going to go to Malkier to become a chef and learn from Malkier.
What's the secret to your rice? Zatarans.
He's actually now more attuned and more in touch with his surroundings than he's ever been, to include, because they talk about the one power is generated by the different life forces in the world.
Show us on the Rand where the power touched you.
And so as a result, he can do these things with a mere thought because he is the power. The power is him. It's
in
so very,
Russia,
very much, I would even say, because they talk about the nature of channeling and the nature of understanding of channeling changes throughout the ages. I would even say that this is a beautiful example of someone going deeper than the one power and the true source to maybe an original fountain. And this also goes to my Star Wars tie-in, because this could be the Force. And he can do these things with a thought because it's no longer a weapon that he wields. It's no longer something that he holds in his hand. It is himself. It is a piece of himself. It is actual, very specifically a brilliant description to say that it is Zen Rand, because it is a part of, it is him.
Well,
it is not a part of him.
You can't have the suit without me. That's indentured servitude, and we haven't done that in this country.
I am the power. The power is with me.
It is no longer.
I tried to play ball with these ass clowns.
Yes. It is no longer a part of
him. Why are you playing with
him.
Ass clowns?
It is him. So to say Rand and the one power is entirely synonymous. And that's the journey that he's got through. And it actually fits a lot with the philosophy that Robert Jordan has woven into, you know, struggling to find your way and kind of this reincarnation and rebirth. As we've seen time and time again, Rand has these phases, this reincarnation rebirth cycle that he goes through until at the very end when he's even suffered death and it's no longer anything. He's finally come to the Zen. He's finally come to Nirvana. So
wait,
which
if
means
Rand is the power and the power is Rand, does that mean that when people are touching Sidine and Sidar, they're touching Rand? Is he getting touched by all power wielders?
And he loves it.
Oh. Stop it, Narisha.
Channel more. So that's my theory.
God. What are you
that's
doing, Step Power?
Step Ashimon, what are you doing?
Step Ashimon, help me, I'm stuck.
Step Aes Sedai, what are you doing?
Rand is skiing because he is touching two towers.
Rand can take two towers. Yes, he can.
There's nothing I can't do without the two towers.
Don't you dare. No. The two towers is a different series.
We reclaimed the title of Two Towers and an offshoot from the series about the Black and White Tower.
Well, except that at this point now, thanks to our listeners, we need to go ahead and make the reclaiming of the Two Towers a romance novel. 50 Shades of the Two Towers.
Oh, gosh. That is the longest message we might have gotten in the live recording Discord. I'll probably edit this out, but I'm going to read it.
Ooh, okay.
Not like, oh, let, you know what? I'll read it out loud.
Yeah,
okay, do it.
Because I might include it. We'll see. So this is from Sexy Morshadi, the Black Tower Podcast, unofficial
fact checker.
So Morshadi's humble opinion. During Rand's battle with the Dark One, he did battle on a higher level, literally manipulating multiple levels of the pattern. The warp and woof, different realities that left him changed. People, items, etc. are threads in the pattern. Rand merged with the pattern. That's why he can't channel, because it's unnecessary. It manipulates the very fabric of reality. Eventually, he becomes like Nakomi, very much like Nakomi.
No, he
when
says
the world
very
turns again, helping Nick's dragon that needs it. This ties in very well with my theory on how the pipe works.
So, speaking of Andrew's theory, what is it? Hit us with your theory. Hit me with your theory.
So this theory that I have is one, if you go into our Discord and you go into the Gleeman's Tales category, you'll see a channel called the Land of Theories.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on the right channel?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you are.
I am. No, it's not in there.
What?
It's just the Land of Triggers. I put it in the spoiler common room. That's where it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The spoiler common room category.
Spoiler Land of Theories. Room.
This is a theory that I had that whenever I thought of it and it came to mind, I liked it so much that I shared it with a couple people and created the Land of Theories to talk about it. And it deals more with the idea of the metaphysics of how the power works, period. Which we all know how much Robert Jordan all loved.
Right, everybody get ready for this one.
Yeah. So the theory is premised on the idea. If like what
all right,
if
Muskie hit us with it.
What if like hold on 1 second. What if
the power hasn't been real the whole time?
What if it doesn't actually create anything, but it's like totally instead a person's ability to alter the threads of the pattern.
What?
Like, think Teleron Riyadh. The way you can just will things to change. I can't do the voice anymore. The way you just will things to change in Teleron Riyadh. So the theory is premised on the idea that whenever you channel different weaves of the power, it's just the human brain's interpretation. So this is kind of a little bit of a mix of Daniel and Josh's, I think. Because the brain can't comprehend the full altering of space-time that is the pattern. Because we know, confirmed from Robert Jordan, that everything that exists has a thread in the pattern. That means every molecule, every atom has a thread in the pattern. So my theory is premised on the idea that channeling isn't actually creating fire or creating anything from that we see created with the power, that it's altering the threads of the pattern. Quendiar is created by altering the threads of the pattern for an object or an area to be what they are. So with that, I see Teleron Riyadh as a practice ground for the reality of how we can interact with reality in the Wheel of Time world. So with that, I would just say that since Rand has been through the doors of truth, since he has seen the pattern, since he has gone beyond the pattern, that now he just has a fundamental understanding of how things work. And he no longer sees the one power because he doesn't need to. It's not a reality for him. There's right. a driving force that still drives the wheel. But for him, it's just the reality is the pattern is this, because this is kind of what he does when he fights the Dark One. He doesn't have to channel to manipulate the pattern to be different things. He does it just by grabbing the threads and doing what he wants with them to show what he wants. So I think that's how it happens. I think it's literally the concepts of Teleron Riyadh brought into the reality, because the ultimate reality is that channeling is just the measure of your ability to alter the threads of the pattern. And now that he understands how that works, he doesn't need weaves to do it. He doesn't have to think about it of like, okay, well, I'll put fire and air into this and create, you know, right. a maelstrom or whatever. It's just, I will the tobacco to be on fire, and he just alters the threads of the pattern without thinking.
Does that mean that he'll actually realize at some point that he doesn't even need the tobacco? And he'll just be like, all right, my new reality, hi.
See, this is the thing. This is where it gets so sticky.
Technically, yes, you could. Based off of how I'm proposing it, you could. You could just will that there's now nicotine in your blood.
Basically.
You could just will that your empty pipe is now clean and then full of whatever tobacco you wanted and then lit. With that theory, he is smoking from the pipe for pure aesthetics.
Yeah.
Yes.
Personal satisfaction.
It's the nostalgia.
I would really love to see a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, how is he aging? What kinds of things is he running into? Like, oh my God, I wish this guy would shut up. Sure. You know, like, does he run into a white cloak and he's like, oh my God, seriously, like take a long walk off a short pier, buddy.
Well, and it's actually really interesting there as well, because Rand, we don't actually see any real conversations with Rand or anything afterwards. Rand is no longer Rand.
Yeah.
Would he actually be annoyed by a white cloak if they had a conversation with him? Or is he so above it all that he's just like, I've seen the face of God. I don't worry about you. I don't need to make you take a long walk off a short pier. You just don't even have any idea what's even going on.
Right.
And I've had this discussion with some others about, like, you know, does Rand still seek intimacy and love and relationships after he is the Rand that we see at the end of the series? And the kind of the idea there was that he's just so in tune and in sync with and aware of all of humanity that it could be either way. You know, he still could personally feel this kind of way, or he could just be so in tune that he doesn't feel the needs for intimacy.
I mean, we've also already established that he's just constantly being touched, so I don't know if he needs additional intimacy. When you have people just reaching up inside you to get access to the power all the time, you know, it's probably sufficient.
That's why at 40 you have to start getting prostate exams. That's how doctors
reach up inside you and touch the power.
That's how doctors maintain their ruling. They reach up inside you and touch the power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. That's my theory, and I think it's really cool differently the three of us like interpreted it or went from it. Like mine was like metaphysics, trying to play to some of like Robert Jordan's what he likes and that we've seen.
I was trying to play to what Robert Jordan liked. No,
we're all trying to play to what Robert Jordan likes.
I'm just kidding.
I was trying to sound really smart and go philosophy.
I was trying to sound wicked smart and just pretend.
I mean, but I really like how, like, Danielle, like, your idea was, like, I don't want to say predicated, but encompassed the idea of just a sensory overload and the brain's inherent survival mechanisms to just, you can't handle this, I'll just take care of it myself and do your little thing.
just house us. Just figure everything else out. We'll figure out how to make that.
No, it's a subject that, like I said, we could spend all day and all night on it, especially when we let the taint flow.
I wish I was a subject you could spend all day and all night on.
Who says we don't? Okay?
We're going to cut that out.
No, we're not.
Andrew's trip to Utah, 2.0.
No, it's such an interesting subject, and it's Robert Jordan does this really fun thing with the series where you know, you think you understand what's happening. You think you understand. You think you know how big the world is. And then he's like, bam! What you thought you knew is only like 5% of the world.
Harriet can confirm. Every time he did that, he made that exact sound effect.
Bam!
Bam! He's like, hey, Harriet, guess what I'm doing? She's like, what, dear? He's like, I'm writing a part of the story. You want to come read it? She's like, you've already showed me everything. And he's like, yeah, but come here. And she starts reading it. He goes, bam! See, it's bigger. That's what she
so
said.
I found.
Is that what you think Robert and Harriet sounded like?
That's exactly what they sound like. They sound exactly like that.
So I found another theory.
There's recorded evidence that that's not.
I have spoken with them on numerous occasions.
I reject your reality and substitute my own.
I reject your reality and substitute it for rum and Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
So I found another theory.
All right.
On the popular site Reddit.
Power, creator power, whatever. Just make me drunk.
I love it.
Let me just think about me being drunk. And, oh, God, I'm going to die.
I now want
Oh, God, now I can't think about anything else.
This theory on Reddit comes from Reddit. User
We're going down a rabbit hole.
1NF, November Foxtrot, posted 7 years ago. And they say, my interpretation is that since Rand stepped outside the pattern and channeled threads of the pattern, he has gained complete control over his Devirin powers. He just wished his pipe to lit, and it was. Come on, I expect better spelling on Reddit because I'm a moron. Influencing the world as he sees fit, or as I call it, Devirin 2.0.
Devirin 2.0.
He does specify that he is no longer Tavirin. Like, he knows he is no longer Tavirin. And so, he does. He talks, but he's like, oh, he can no longer, because he can no longer feel the pull of the pattern on Matt and Perrin.
But what about the unreliable narrator? He just lied to us the whole time, and he actually could sense Sidene. It's all a farce.
Son of a bitch! And so, for them to say, I guess it could be similar to Tavirin 2.0, could be similar to his newfound ability to channel, not channel. In that way, he wouldn't
sorry, not
know.
Sorry, channel, not channel?
He wouldn't know he was.
I found Tavirin a 2.0. Better theory. This one would be a mind fuck if it was real. This is from This is from I Am Become a Name. In between each word, there's a fucking underscore. From 7 years ago as well. Maybe the implication is that he never left a world that he imagined during the battle with the Dark One. Meaning Ram was totally immersed in a world of his own creation, and the Dark One has won by trapping the dragon in his own vision. How much
we
of a mindfuck?
Full Inception!
How much of a mindfuck, like...
I love it.
I love it for the mind fuck. I don't think it's what happened, but I love it for the mind fuckery.
I love it for that aspect as well. Because that's got like a Haunting of Hill House sort of vibe to it.
Yes.
And I love that. I think that's one of the greatest horror TV shows ever written. Not because it was like high budget or anything, but the writing was just so beautiful. And I feel like that is totally something that Robert Jordan would write just...
And you lied to me about that show, by the way.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Oh, there's only one jump scare. Motherfucker, there's at least two. At least two. And I thought I'd seen the one. So the one in the one that happens later...
Oh, yeah.
Towards the end, you know, the one that you warned me about was the one that... No, actually, it might have been my roommates and you. That was the one that one really fucked me. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I had to wash my sheets after that shit. Woo!
That actually reminds me very much. Have you guys seen Black Mirror?
Yes.
No.
Which episode
you
of
should
Black Mirror?
See Black Mirror first and foremost, Josh. Also,
which episode?
Earmuffs. Go earmuffs. Right? No, I'm just kidding. The one where the guy is in the virtual reality and
yes,
his mom
push
calls
your
it,
headphones
and
further.
Everything into happens, and he sees all of this different stuff
that
doesn't
part.
Even actually exist. I love the that one with the haunted house and the virtual reality where he gets the implant. And then his mom calls him and he gets all of the different stuff. But
he doesn't know what is real happening. Or what isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah,
it's like he does the experiment, and then afterwards he can't distinguish reality from the simulation. Because every time he thinks he's out, he's actually still in.
Oh, yeah, sure. Because his brain is gone. And then they're standing there in the room being like, yep, we vegetables another one.
Have to recalibrate.
I'm such a mess.
Anyway, Josh, you're good.
Hey! All right,
cool. You should definitely watch Black Mirror. Don't start with episode one, because episode one is dog shit. Start with episode two.
It's really good.
Episode
really
one good. Is Winter Dragon.
Not quite that bad.
Oh, it's like, way better than Winter Dragon is, but Winter Dragon's so low on the bar, it doesn't really set a
actually, precedent. You know what? I'm going to tell you, watch the John Hamm Christmas special of Black Mirror. It all goes downhill from there because that one's the best, but so many of them are amazing that you won't even mind that it's getting worse.
I really like it.
You get like the couple of bad ones because there are a couple of bad ones.
You really like it. There's a Star Trek episode. So
if you haven't yet watched Black Mirror, it's all on Netflix. Don't start with episode one. That's the only real advice I have for you. Don't start on episode one because it's completely different than the whole rest of the series. And my recommendation is just blow your own mind completely by starting with the Christmas special.
That's you'll like it. There's a Star Trek episode, which we all know is your favorite series.
It's so good.
I do enjoy some Star Trek.
But it's actually a really good episode, honestly.
So, okay, I think we need some outside of Watt Candy real quick. I just need Josh's answer on this. You have less than 5 minutes. Josh, if stormtroopers that have been ordered not to kill red shirts get into a shootout with red shirts, who dies first?
Red shirts. Always.
All right.
Red shirts will always die. Red shirts will get like sideswipe punched. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some Star Trek, but when Next Generation came out and suddenly all the command is wearing red shirts, I'm like,
guys, this is a Game of Thrones situation. All of command is gonna die.
And I don't know. I think the red shirts are gonna die.
Okay, regardless.
And
that was a pretty quick explanation.
A lot of the troopers are gonna die too, because they're gonna go back and be like, "We're sorry, Lord Vader. The red shirts, they were just really easy to kill. Like,
we were shooting directly up in the air and somehow
and they still died. We vastly underestimated how easy they died."
Darth Vader's just standing there and he's like,
he's so
I have to admit, I'm not even angry. I'm just impressed.
You're all dead.
You're all dead, of course.
I have to kill all of you, but at the same time, know that you have my undying appreciation. All right, anyway.
Thank you.
It's getting late. We're all having a good time, but it's time to say goodbye. We have a few last things. Andrew, what do you got for us?
So do make sure that you run yourself on over to thegreatblight.com. It is a fantastic repository for all things Wheel of Time. You can find all kinds of podcasts, YouTube channels, artists, music, musicians, all kinds of amazing stuff that you can find there, as well as an ever-evolving wiki that is tailored to be spoiler-free. So make sure you head over to thegreatblight.com.
Great Blight is put together by Nate Bliss, who is a super cool dude.
Nate Bliss?
We love Nate Bliss, but we're not, you know, with him. We just really like him. He's just a cool guy.
Yeah. Also, after you've gone over to thegreatblight.com, you're already on the internet. You're already on your favorite browser. So why not pop on over to Black Tower Pod. And say hi to your...
It's this minus, hold on, what I'm covering.
There it is. Boom. Yeah, Black Tower
Pod.com.
A pod of Black Tower.
It has all of our links, so don't worry about going ahead and finding us on other platforms. If you use another platform, that's fine. We'd love to see you there. But pop on over to Black Tower Pod and get all that information. Podbean, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, everything.
Yeah.
Cool go ahead there too. Talk to us about our about our forum or in our forums, all of the things we did right, all of the things we did wrong, because there's a lot of them. There's already a thing for this episode, and if you want to go ahead and tell us whatever, that's the place to do it. Andrew.
There's also on our website, there's a section where on the homepage we update our most recent Patreon supporters. And that's true. We can very easily create, and I want to create, and this is the first time Josh is hearing it because Josh does most, if not all, of the legwork for the website.
We should create
a Black Tower roster book that lists everybody that is in the Black Tower. So there's an ongoing list of all of our amazing Patreon supporters.
I like it.
And so Patreons, you guys absolutely need all of your information. So your name, your Patreon your social security number, your wife or your mother's maiden name, the name of your first pet, the PIN number for your bank, and most importantly, what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Yeah, that one. That's the
most. That's what we should call it now. The Black
Book. While you're surfing around Black Tower.
There you go, Josh. There's the name.
Black Book.
There's the name for the page. The Black Book.
I love it. So good.
You've gone to the blacktowerpod.com.
Or we can call it the big Black Book of Bad Bitches.
You've looked up your name because you're already in our Patreon, and you've looked up your name in the big Black Book of Bad Bitches. And then you're like, merch link. And you're like, boom, I'm looking at all this sick merch and you're loving it. And you buy like 12 things. But then you realize, wait a minute, I don't have a Black Tower Frosty mug. Well, that's a problem.
What?
So
how did you get this far in life without a Black Tower Frosty
mug? You mean they don't have one of these?
No, they don't. But what? They need one. So then they're going to go to newcreationsbyjen.com. And they're going to type in Black Tower. And they're going to see our sweet merch over there as well. And then you guys can get your cool stuff there as well.
Not going to lie, super jealous of the creativity of New Creations by Jen because she thought of putting up our logo and stuff in pure black and white, and it looks super dope. And I wake up every morning angry at myself that I never thought of doing that.
Yeah.
But go over there.
I wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Head over there and get that dope stuff now.
Vomit tequila and glitter.
For those of you that are our Patreons, we know that our stuff is kind of heavy towards the first tier, towards the soldier tier. That's where you get the kind of the most as far as count benefits. And a lot of that is because some of the stuff we want to do, we just don't have the honest finances to do. There's cooler stuff we thought of doing, and it just was more expensive than we thought when we thought of doing it. But we want to increase the benefits for our higher tier patrons. So for our Patreons, what's something that you would like to see that you think would be a great addition to the Patreon community you're already a part of? And for those of you that do not or are not one of our supporters on Patreon, what's something that you could see that maybe not would make you be a Patreon, but would make you consider it? We're looking for suggestions. We're looking for ideas. And
if we can make it happen, we will. So we're not just asking you to do all of our legwork for us.
Right.
But again, we do want, as Andrew said, our Patreons, you're the ones who are getting the stuff. So if it's something that you're interested in, please let us know, because you're the one getting the rewards. So we don't want to do a bunch of stuff that you don't like. Yeah. We don't want to do a bunch of stuff that you're not going to appreciate. So again, you know, we have our own ideas. We're happy to go ahead and do those things. We're looking for things to do. So please let us know what you would be interested in, what would make you happy.
There is no dumb idea. There is no idea too small. I'm not going to say there's no idea too big, because finances are what they are.
Yeah.
We can't send a madman's piece to everyone.
Yeah. But we do want to do as much as we can for our patrons. And who better to ask what would you would like to see as a patron benefit or reward than the people that may already be patrons, or the people that may be looking to be patrons? I mean, we want it. We want your support to equal out to what you receive. We want you to feel like you're not just throwing money at people that are using it for whatever, but looking and at things that are beneficial to you. With that being said,
I know that you do trust us, and I really do. We do really appreciate that. We do want to confirm that every cent of money that we do actually get from our Patreon, at least at this point, 100% goes back into the show. It helps us pay things like hosting costs. It helps us pay for things like different merch that we got for Gathering Madness, things like that. So we're not pocketing anything. We are 100% interested, happy to, and willing to put everything that we get back into making cooler stuff. So I don't want to say that you're just really helping yourself by increasing your Patreon subscription, but you're really helping yourself and your fellow Patreons by increasing your Patreon.
And I will tell you, you will see the direct results of your contributions to the Black Tower Podcast, helping the podcast be better between one of the three of us. You will be able to see it if things go like they normally do, within the next week. So so the next episode, if not the episode after, one of the three of us will be getting something that is completely financed by one of by you guys, our Patreons.
Yes.
To help make this better for you guys. Nice. And other than me, nobody knows who it is.
Okay.
Because it was just done today.
Great surprise for everyone.
Hell, surprise.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, thank you guys so much.
All.
Yes, please give us, and not only that, I just want to throw out there again, I said it a little bit before, but please give us feedback. Again, you guys are listening to this. We are having a super great time already talking to each other. We wouldn't not do this if there wasn't a show, sort of. But at the same time,
if there was only three people listening, we'd still be getting together every Wednesday.
Exactly. Yeah.
You guys are locked in a contract that you don't realize you signed.
But in the end, the show is so much more for you than anything else, you each individual listener. So if you're not getting something out of us, let us know. And we'll see if we can go ahead and make that happen. If you're getting too much of something out of us, let us know. And we'll see if we can go ahead and make that happen. If you have suggestions for things that we've done before that are segments that you'd like to see more of, let us know. We're happy to go ahead and work on things like that. We already have so much stuff in the works that, again, we regularly say you will eventually see. And that's true. You will eventually see it.
We'll give you a teaser. So the first thing.
You will eventually see it.
We're not pandering to you guys. We're not out of ideas. We love you guys. Right. And we want as much as we can to put the best content out for you guys to enjoy. Because you do so much for us. Every view, every like, every listen, every download helps us out so much. Every review, every follow, every comment. I mean, when this started, I had no idea that we could even get like a follow a week. And it still blows my mind that we get anywhere from 1 to 5 follows every week on Podbean. That our YouTube channel is already at 220 followers, I believe, as we're recording this on December 30th. But teaser, 2021 holds a lot of guest appearances on the Black Tower Podcast.
Already scheduled.
There's already more than 8 guests scheduled for 2021, definitely within the first half, many, if not all of which you know, and if you don't know, you should, and we'll talk about it more when that happens.
Indeed.
We can't express how thankful we are.
Yes.
A lot of this, like, we're saying so much. We already did the first episode that'll be public for 2021, but we can't emphasize this enough that it's amazing for us going into what is the third year of the podcast and just how much it's grown, how much it's changed, and how amazing it is. And 99.99% of that is because of you guys and your feedback, the things you enjoy, the things we see that you watch more and enjoy more. And that's what we want to do. It's not catering. It's if you enjoy this, we want to do it. You know, we started the BGP yeah. React segment, and we decided to continue it because we had several people that either said in the Discord or in the comments, whatever, please keep doing this. So I am more than happy for you to pile on more work for me doing editing and to make me bug Daniel and Josh for us to do as much as we can. But
I'm in. I'm here for it. I love it.
Fucking indeed. Better be.
It's in the you guys are awesome. You guys indeed. Are always awesomer. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here to receive your weekly dose of taint. We are, as always, honored to be here to dispense that dose of taint, and hopefully you find madness in whatever corner you find yourself.
This is the one true vaccine for the sadness of life.
We love you. You're awesome. Thank you for all of us at the Black Tower. I am Josh. Right here. And then that.
Oh, wait, no. Daniel can't go a second. He has to go last.
Yeah, you got to go
second. I'm just dumb.
You're the bologna in this sandwich.
Hello.
Yeah.
My name is Andrew. I'm new here. I'm your Bajan Mahal, though nothing about what just happened is this confidence of me leading you into battle. But charge always works.
Charge.
Okay,
Charge. And I have been your last illustrious host, and while I'm not new here, I still make way too many mistakes.
Uh-oh. Do we lose him?
I think the banner flew in between him and his internet connection.
I was about to say, is he Edgelord right now?
I'm kind of surprised that it's not me, honestly.
Yeah. Well, we can do the back and hold on. Is he
turns out that Daniel like actually just froze himself, and he's just edging all of us right now.
I'm back.
There we go.
I'm back.
Oh, he's back. Okay.
From the top.
I am sorry.
From the top.
I am Daniel. I still make mistakes, but I'm not going to screw this one up. I feel like that actually came through. But we're happy that you're here. We're happy that you're with us. We're happy that you come back week after week. And we're hoping that everything about this morning is perfect. You're getting everything that you want out of it. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.